Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. According to dictionary.com, a mindset is the ideas and attitudes with which a person approaches a situation, especially when these are seen as being difficult to alter. To achieve success with your money, you must learn how to master your money mindset. It sounds hard to do, but in reality, it's simply about you just deciding on a different approach to how you deal with your cash.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Compton-Gain, where we flip the script on the old-school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
Ah, we did it. We are rounding out our month-long series on money mindset, money wellness. And by now, I hope you have some great tools in your tool belt that you can use to flip the switch on any of your negative thoughts around money And we have heard from so many amazing people this month, from Ken Honda and his Happy Money approach, which, by the way, if you do not own his book, Happy Money, you absolutely need to grab it. To Trey Baj and her smart shopping tips, to Lisa Lynn Hall's story of literally creating movement around the invention of a sports bra and how that changed her life both personally and, of course, financially. And I just know that I have been really inspired this month. It has lit a fire under me for the podcast and kind of given me this new breath of fresh air. So I'm hoping that you felt that, and I'm hoping that a lot of the tips that have been shared over this month, you can really utilize in your own mindset around money and your own thinking around money and really carry those through the rest of the year. So I thought it might be fun to just wrap up the month doing a little mashup of some of the most impactful ideas over the month to really remind you that mastering your mindset is totally within your reach. And the benefits of doing it are going to be felt in every area of your life, from your relationships to your career to your relationship with you, and of course, your money situation. And mastering your mindset, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden your money problems are going to go away. I'm not going to tell you that. That would be a very naive statement to make. But what I have found is that when I really spend time on my mindset, I'm able to see my money situation through a different lens, and I'm able to remove any negative thoughts around money, any failure that maybe I'm hanging on to, all of that negative just juju and energy. I'm able to just send it away so I can look at the situation from a clear point of view and see things that I wasn't able to see before. I hope that makes sense. So first up in our mashup is Keisha Blair. Remember her story about holistic wealth? That wealth isn't just about the stuff you have, but it's about all the different areas of your life. That's really what you're striving for, because let's be honest, you can have millions and millions of dollars, but not have good health or good relationships and things like that. You just can't buy with money, at least not easily. So I want you to hear a little bit from Keisha's interview that I think is just really important that you should remember throughout the rest of this year. There's so much of your story that I obviously want to dive into, and so much that I really resonate with myself. But I wanted to start out just laying a bit of foundation for this concept of holistic wealth. I'm really curious, like, what would you say is the main difference between holistic wealth and kind of like the old school definition of wealth?
Yeah, no, great question. And in the book, I address it head on in the intro, because I feel like that old school definition needs to be revamped. You know, like millennials yes. in particular are asking for a new definition that's not just defined by your net worth or how much money you have in your bank account, but your emotional and physical health, you know, your spiritual health, and of course, you know, your financial health. So we're taking into those key aspects of our lives that are significant building blocks. And one, they can't stand alone, and we need them sure. to be in good health in order to have holistic wealth. So I think that's the key difference, that, you know, we just want to redefine wealth on our own terms. And, you know, with the rat race and everybody just, you know, being exhausted and just tired, you know, like we're really looking for that new version, that revamped, refreshed, you know, meaning of wealth.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, right? That we need like a 2.0 version of wealth, because I think, you know, people think about wealth, and you so eloquently talk about this in the intro to your new book, Holistic Wealth. But, you know, we've defined wealth, like you say, in terms of just assets, like how much money is in my bank account? Do I own a house and a car and a boat and whatever the heck you want to put in there? Mm-hmm. But that thinking about it more like collectively, also incorporating experiences and different things that you try. And I mean, gosh, you could just lump so many things into that. But
when you look back at wealth over your lifetime on your, you know, at the end of your life, you know, I think all of us are hoping for like that collection of experiences, not just the number in our bank account.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And I'm curious, like, why do you think people have been so hesitant to really claim like holistic wealth as one of the most important, you know, building blocks or pieces to a good life? It feels like we always like come up against this wall when we talk about this concept.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think traditionally, with society, and it's good that we're now questioning those rules. You know, everybody defined you by a salary and a paycheck and a title. So, and I say this in the book too, you know, you meet people and people aren't going to ask you how, you know, they ask you how you're doing, but like, it's just like a quick intro. And then after that, it's, oh, where do you work?
Right.
What do you do?
Right.
And so traditionally we're defined by these things. And so it's taken on so much more significance than it really needs to. And I think that's why, you know, like even when we try to redefine ourselves and even when we push back on that definition, it keeps coming back because, and this is something I want to change. I want us to, you know, like collectively yes. as a society, I want us to focus more. And, you know, mental wellness is taking on more importance and, you know, and emotional health. But we really need to, you know, do more and do a better job of really defining and redefining, you know, how we see each other and what are the things that we really emphasize in our daily conversations. It's just like, you know, you get together on a weekend and everybody's talking about work. Things like that just kind of put us back in that box. And so I think if we start to have the conversation, then that's a good thing because then we're redefining it as we go along and we're changing our conversation. We're changing our discussions about what's important, what's really important.
I would love to tie this together with like a little bit of a bow. So we talked about this being just such a great time to kickstart these changes in our mindset around money and really begin to bring in the concept of holistic wealth. If you could give somebody like one, maybe even baby little action step of something they can do today to help them to start thinking about their money in a holistic way, what would you tell them?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Like I would just say start with the mindset, you know, and in the book, and you mention it in the book, I talk about the holistic wealth method, and it's really a mindset, you know, of looking at, and in terms of when we even look at our money, let's say, looking at things that either add or deplete that holistic wealth bank account, and making our decisions from there. Because I think if we do that, then we're really on a path toward achieving holistic wealth because everything is tied in. And so if we think about things that deplete our holistic wealth bank account from a money perspective, it's spending on things that aren't going to get us to our end goal. It's, you know, going out to places that we don't need to be or spending on things that we don't need. That will erode that bank account. And so I think starting with the mindset is key. And that holistic wealth mindset is a great starting point, especially for the new year, because then we're not thinking about our money in isolation. We're thinking about it with all these factors combined, because sometimes our spending, you know, it goes off the rails because our emotional health is just not strong enough. Like we get tempted, you know, yeah. And then there are days when we feel sad and we're like, you know what? I think I deserve that pair of shoes or I think I deserve this. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, like work that way. And so if we tie everything together and really address all these key aspects and really think about our mindset in a very deliberate way. You know, in the book, I talk about everything being intentionally designed and our lives being an intentional designed life. That's what I mean. Like everything has to be intentional.
Yes.
Everything has to be grounded in something. And so that's kind of how I would, you know, that would be my kind of advice for doing that.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/CD specials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.
By the way, I'm going to say this with everybody who is on the podcast this month. If you don't have Keisha's book, Holistic Wealth, you've got to grab it. It's another staple to put aside next to Ken Honda's book. And anytime you're getting frantic about money, just read a few chapters. It will change how you think about money and this concept of wealth for the rest of your life. And speaking of Ken Honda, who can forget him and his happy money message? He shared that he says that word arigato to his money every time he opens his wallet or pays for something or receives money. And I have to admit that I have borrowed this approach, and I can't say that it's done anything revolutionary yet, but it just makes me feel really good. And maybe that's enough. Maybe that is putting me in a good mindset around my money. So you should try it. What's the worst that could happen? I wanted to start out, you know, you say that money is energy. It can be happy or it can be unhappy. So tell me a little bit, like, what makes money happy?
You know, one time I was approached by this woman, and she asked me if she could take a look at my wallet. And she just scanned all my bills, and she said, "Ken, you're good to go because all your money is smiling." And she told me that money can smile or laugh, and if you're not doing what you love, or if you're taking advantage of other people, your money could be crying in your wallet. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting concept. And I started thinking, you know, there must be two kinds of money, happy money and unhappy money. And happy money makes you smile when you receive it and when you spend it. Whereas unhappy money makes you, frustrated and when you receive the money. And also when you spend money, it gives me scary feeling too. So it's a big difference. And it doesn't really matter how much money you make or you have. It's about your emotional attitude toward money.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful. And I always say we don't spend enough time talking about, like you said, the emotional attitude towards money. We want to go straight on to the how-tos. How do I grow my investments, or how do I budget? And all of those things are really important. But the emotional component of it, I have found to be a game changer for myself and for countless other people that I've shared this message to. But I'm curious, like, why do we ignore this emotional component of money?
You know, I think we're so hooked up with the numbers. So the more is better. And I talk about money container in general. I teach Japanese, hundreds of thousands of Japanese people how to find your right size. But in, for example, in North America, I get many questions like, how can I make my money container bigger? So there's an assumption that more is better. But in fact, I approach differently. It's like more Zen way. So can you satisfy with what you have? Because happiness is found when you are fully content with what you have. So don't try to go for bigger, better, you know, more. Otherwise, your life will be in the hell of endlessly wanting more.
Wow. Yeah, that's so powerful. I tell me a little bit more about this, like finding the right size container. How mm-hmm. how do you practically go about that and figure out what that is for you?
Yes. You know, my father was a very successful accountant, tax accountant, and he taught me everything about money. And then as I grew up, I found out that we had guests on weekends for my father to visit his clients. And I realized when I was small, there are people who brought very expensive, you know, sweets and nice things for a souvenir. And there are those that who didn't bring anything, you know, to our house. So I realized that there are two kinds of people, generous people and not so generous people. And I found out that there are people who are good at making money, receiving money, and who are not so good at making money. So I found out that there is this thing called money container. We're born with a certain money container. It could be a small size. It could be a big size. Somebody like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, they were born with a big, huge money container. And there's those who are making a minimum wage. They don't think outside of the box. So those people were born with smaller bucket of money container.
Interesting. So can you... you know, using those examples, saying those people are born into those money containers, mm-hmm. can you then change your money container?
Of course, of course. But, you know, it's so interesting because it's, as you talk about, Sean, it's about a mindset. You know, when we think that we're so limited, you know, we're just, if we are limited to, for example, employee mentality, we tend to think how much money we get per hour or per week or per month. But wealthy people think of money in terms of rendering service to millions of people and then receive money. So they tend to think more of an entrepreneur mind. So, and in fact, the more service and the better service and happier service they provide, they're likely to receive more. So that's how life works in this capitalism. But, you know, when you just take a look at your life, how much service you give out, you receive later on. So it's the money container, but at the same time, it's how much you're willing to offer to the world. So if you're offering little, working minimum wage kind of work, you're not giving so much service. But if you're just providing so much information, so much love, and for example, if you own a restaurant chain, you are serving hundreds of thousands of people every day through your company. So the more service you provide, the more you receive. And it's a very simple fact.
Yes, it's such a powerful thing to think about. I'd love for you to share also, I know you share the story of saying arigato to mm-hmm. your money. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to share that.
Thank you for asking. I had a great privilege of meeting so many great mentors, teachers, and one of them is Wahei Takeda, who used to be called Warren Buffett of Japan. He passed away a few years ago. And when I had a chance to meet him, you know, like you have an opportunity to meet Warren Buffett, what would you ask? And I asked him, what is the secret of money? How can I be wealthy? And he said, only one thing. Oh, actually, two things. And he said, when money comes in, say arigato. When money leaves you, that means when you spend money, also arigato. Arigato in, arigato out. And I asked him, anything else? And I said, that's it. Arigato. In, arigato. Out. And I was like, oh my God, I came all the way to see him and then I should have known something else. But I started doing it. It's almost like 10 some years ago. And a lot of interesting things started happening in my life. Once I started saying arigato in, arigato out, I felt happier, you know.
And, really?
Yes, because when I received money, I said, oh, thank you. And around the time, I went to a supermarket and I got a $2 coupon at the cash register, you know, somehow. I mean, I think everybody has it, gets it, right? And then, wow, I just shouted out loud in Japanese, I'm a lucky guy. And obviously, the woman next to me, in front of me, saw it was amusing. So she handed out her $2 coupon to me. And I said, wow, I'm double lucky. And then there's another woman who just gave me that. And so like I got like $6 instantly by showing arigato or thank you. And I showed my happiness. And it was so fun. So when you receive money, just show your appreciation. And it's great for business too. So whenever you receive money from your clients and customers, just show appreciation in terms of smile or emails or letters. It really works wonders. And when you spend money, also say thank you because you get some kind of service or merchandise when you spend money. So somebody gets something good for you to make you happy. So there's a lot of reason to appreciate about. So once you start this appreciation, I think you start this cycle of appreciation and whatever you appreciate, appreciates. And I, my income grew and I was a happier man and more money. I couldn't complain more. And I started teaching about happy money to my clients and I got incredible results. For example, a single mother who used to work for her CEO, she was complaining about the low payment. And then she started thanking her boss because she's a high school graduate and she didn't get a college degree, but she got a job. So a few weeks later, she got a big raise from her boss, who she called him a stingy guy.
Wow, that's so amazing. So like even just that practice of saying arigato is like showing the appreciation, it does something to your brain, to your insides, right? Yes. Like it changes your perspective in a way that it's hard to explain unless you've done it yourself.
And what it works is that once you focus on appreciation, Wahei said, a human mind cannot conceive one thing, two things at one time. So if you are thanking something, you cannot worry about it. So in other words, if you appreciate money, you cannot worry about money at the same time.
It's taken me about 4 years, maybe longer, to master my mindset. If I'm going to be transparent, it wasn't certainly this overnight thing because you're pushing against some of those deeply held beliefs about money that it feels like you were just born with, or certainly it's felt like that in my case. I don't know. Some of the things I can't pull all the way apart. Why do I think this way? I don't know. It just sort of feels like I just came that way. And another thing about mastering your mindset, it is literally one of the best ways to avoid fights with your partner too, because when you understand how you think about money and you've done some work to figure out what works, what doesn't work, you're able to cultivate that better in a relationship and come to your relationship with a different approach around money. So for me, the process of mastering my mindset really started with journaling every day, where I'd set this goal, I'd set action steps, and then I'd check on what was going on in my mind. So how I was feeling, where I was stuck, some of the money mistakes that would keep coming up, like anything that was just fresh and flowing in my brain, I would write down every single day. And this got me focused and really forced me to articulate what I was feeling about money. So once you have that awareness point, then that's the place where you can change anything. So then we heard from, remember Michaela Renee Johnson and her story about turning these stumbling blocks into stepping stones? I think her message is really impactful to hear probably over and over and over again, because even when you quote unquote master your money mindset, something's going to come along that you weren't expecting. And it happens to all of us, but it's really how you handle the stumbling blocks that matters. Whether you call it a stumbling block or a crisis, whatever word that might be for you, those moments matter because it's the place that many people freak out and turn to drastic money choices that could have a really long-lasting impact, like expensive debt or whatever that may be in your situation. So really understanding how to turn those stumbling blocks into something that is going to propel you forward is one of the smartest money moves you can really make. Your story is so powerful, and I really want to dive into it. You say that how we view life's inevitable setbacks really has this profound effect over our well-being, and I so agree. Is there a way to find happiness in any situation?
I believe that we have to. I think that's really what it comes down to. Otherwise, we end up succumbing to things like anxiety and depression. Inevitably, we're going to experience those emotions, but how we look at the experiences that we have in life is what sets us up for the future. And I also believe that within every sadness or pain, there is some light and hope. And so I think that's the goal, is to find the positive message in whatever it is that we're going through at the time.
I like that you say that. And I know you have this incredible story that I want to get into. And you talk about that lightness and hope. And I know that sometimes when I'm in a tough situation, it's hard to find that in the moment. In retrospect, it's like, oh yeah, of course, that's why it happened. Are there any practical ways to like find that in the moment?
Well, that's the thing, is I think that anytime we're in the throes, and there's different levels, right? I mean,
sure.
You know, in my practice, I see people that are going through all different kinds of things in life. So I see people who, you know, are maybe going through a separation or are having a tough time in their job, to the mother that just lost a child. So I think there's different levels of these experiences and these pains that we experience as we go through our lifetime. And I believe that in each of our journey, these things are there to help us grow. And I am a firm believer that I don't think we get handed anything more than we can handle. So, you know, in this lifetime, we have these different experiences, and it sometimes feels maybe impossible, like the weight of a million boulders. And it's not until much later that we can reflect and find that positivity. But I think it can help if in the moment we take time for gratitude for the things that are going right, or the things that we are appreciative of. And that can work in the most intense of pain and trauma to the lightest of pain and trauma.
I like gratitude. It's something I've really tried to focus on this year. And I could tell you, even in tough situations, gratitude really, it like brings you back to this place. And I can't quite describe what that is, but it's this place of awareness of, okay, I've got a lot of great things that have happened or that are happening. And this other thing that's not so good, maybe it's not that big of a deal, or maybe I don't need to give it that much attention. And I think gratitude is just so important.
And sometimes we just want to be angry, or we just want to stew in it for a minute. And I think that's okay too. It's like, you know what? It's 10:09, and I'm going to give myself until 10:15 to just be a grumpy butt about it. And that's okay too. But then at 10:15, I'm going to start trying to find something that brings me a little bit more positivity and lightness in the way I'm feeling. Because it's up to us if we want to sit with that. And ultimately, you know, not forgiving people or not moving past things, the only person these ultimately hurt is ourselves.
I like that. I like the time factor. I'm giving myself X amount of time that I can feel however I want to feel. And then I got to pick myself up, dust off, and let's go forward. I like that advice.
Exactly.
You have this story. You were 12 years old and there was this financial slump that happened. You say forced your family to move from a relatively upscale area into a trailer with no electricity, no running water. walk me through a little bit, because that feels very, like that would be very traumatic, especially for somebody 12 years old. What was that time like for you?
I think that it was definitely a lot harder for me than it was for my two younger brothers. For them, you know, they saw it as like, oh, this is a fun camping adventure in the woods that just kind of never ends.
Yeah.
Like Swiss Family Robinson style.
Right.
Where for me, being, you know, tween, I was super hyper aware of the loss that I was experiencing, the loss of friendships, the loss of routines that I knew, the loss financially of being able to go and pick out school clothes or, you know, get things that were popular or trendy at that time. And really even just my existing stuff. So we packed everything up and it went into a storage unit, everything that was not absolutely necessary. And because we only had a 27-foot fifth wheel. So there was very limited space to bring anything with us. And so I think what I mostly felt at that time was this great sense of loss. And I think people experience losses throughout their lifetime in all sorts of different ways. And they look different, but the feelings deep down inside tend to have the same impact on our emotional well-being.
Well, I'm asking everyone that I talked to this month to help us walk through what it means to have a healthy mindset and truly find this idea of balance in life. So I'm curious, what do we need to keep top of mind in our pursuit of happiness, no matter what the setbacks are or what the situation?
Man, that is such a great question. And as you were asking it, I was thinking about contentment or peace. And I think that when it comes to our bodies, our minds, anytime that we have little bits of, you know, twangs of pain here and there, like, you know, a pulled muscle or just getting a headache, or maybe it's a belly ache or something like that. I think that's like a physical manifestation of our body saying something isn't balanced. And it's a really great opportunity to take some time to do some mindful meditation or mindful thoughts and sit somewhere, find a very peaceful environment and just kind of close your eyes and listen to what your body is actually telling you and listen to what comes to you. And for me, that's the fastest and best way that I reset when I'm starting to feel those physical kind of, you know, ailments. I go, ooh, something's not balanced. I'm putting my energy in too much of this place or not enough of that place. And I need to just spend a little time, sit, reset, reconnect with my basic human functioning, which is, you know, in our old caveman days, they used to spend a whole lot of time sitting and reflecting and listening and thinking. And that is when, you know, as humans, we've grown so much from allowing that time for our mind to develop and grow and experience. I mean, you know, Einstein's greatest developments came from spaces of near meditation when he was just sitting and thinking, you know, even Newton underneath the apple tree. So I like to go back to that and really tap into the fact that we're moving so fast all the time. And I just came back from international travel to Panama, where I spent 3 days in a remote village in Bocas del Toro, where they don't have power. They don't have, you know, they're living very, very simply. And so many of them were just sitting on the porch and their homes are very, very basic. And they were just sitting there, just looking out over the pastures. And that's just the most basic human right that we have, is to connect with the earth that we're on. And I think it's really important to slow down and go back to that space when we get kind of hectic or crazy or things feel unbalanced.
I'm not just going to leave you hanging too in January. I'm really going to try to continue to bring you stories of mindset and wellness throughout this year, because honestly, not that many people are talking about this in terms of money. And I have seen this concept be the number one reason that people have been able to make massive changes in their money over the last 15 years. It's not just one person or one situation. I have seen it over and over and over again, regardless of income, education, age, you name it. People who were stuck wanting to pay off debt or improve their credit scores or buy a house or afford adoptions, when they were able to change their mind around money and really think of things that were keeping them stuck, like have this awareness, suddenly things started to change. And I will say it does start with figuring out what you're spending your money on every single month. No more of that. I'm just spending my money. Money comes in, money goes out. I don't really need to look at my bank account or my budgeting app. It's no big deal. It is such a big deal. It is really, really the number one factor to change things for you. So you see, it's easy for our brains to stay comfy. And comfy oftentimes equals a lack of action, which means we stay stuck. So to change your money situation, you've got to do just that, make a change. And I beg you that it starts with this idea of money mindset. Take 5 minutes after this episode and write down how you feel about money, ways your mindset might be keeping you stuck, and then create an action plan to unstick yourself. If I can do it, you can do it. So thanks so much for hanging out with me this month and listening in on this mashup episode. On this podcast, we have a powerful thing that we're trying to do. We are changing our language around money to help others unlock the lives they want to live so you can live it out on purpose. Now that you are a part of that movement, it's up to all of us to invite others in. So share this episode with someone that you think is really ready to make life changes and wants to embrace this idea of money mindset. Tell them why they should be listening and invite them in so we can all talk about money in a new, fun, and fresh way.
Hey, where are you going? We're not quite finished yet. We just wanted to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money and for helping us create a safe space to talk about money. For more on this episode, check out the show notes and don't be afraid to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Seriously, we love hearing from our Millennial Money family, so send us your rave reviews. We look good in 5 stars. Just saying. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.